Hello, everyone. So glad that you could be here today. I've really enjoyed connecting with many of you throughout the week. It's been good to talk with you, to see how you're doing. As far as I know, everyone is healthy, and I'm always glad to hear of ways that people are finding to encourage one another. So keep up the good work. I want to start off this morning with a bit of an illustration here. Now, I have a bucket, and this is just for safety, because I'm going to take this glass right here, and I'm going to take some water, and I'm going to pour it into the glass. Now, we'll pour. Now, that much is safe, right? Now, what happens if we just keep on pouring and pouring? It overflows, doesn't it? That, my friends, once I put this down, is a picture of the way that God loves us. God fills us with so much love that it overflows to other people. You know, I was listening this week to a message on John 17, and the speaker pointed out something that I had never really caught before. It's John 17, verse 23. Jesus is praying for his disciples. He is praying for people who will become his disciples through their teaching, and that, of course, is us. And Jesus prays, verse 23, "May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Now, lots going on in those verses, but I want to draw your attention to the last eight words in that passage. "You have loved them even as you loved me." Don't let that slip by you. How much does God love you? As much as he loves his son. How much does he love his son? Well, how much do you love your children? Infinitely, right? As much as humanly possible. And if we love our children as much as is humanly possible, then God loves his children as much as is divinely possible. God loves us with an infinite love. Let that sink in for a minute. You are as precious to God as Jesus is. The amount of affection that God has for his son is the same amount of affection that God has for you. And not just for you, but the whole church. Remember in verse 23, Jesus prays, "May they be united, and as they stand together, may that be a demonstration of the never-ending, unfailing, overflowing love that God has for us." This love that God has for us, I would say, ought to act like the water that we saw in the demonstration at the top. This love that God pours into our hearts should really overflow. This is love that spills over from our lives to be a blessing for others. That's what Jesus calls us to in John 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you love one another." You know, Jesus says here, since I have loved you, and I'm God, so since God has loved you with a love that never ends, you love others with a love that never ends. And then verse 35, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We, as Jesus followers, should be known to the world for our love, or by our love, not for snobbery or hypocrisy or holier-than-thou-ness or judgmentalism. I don't know if those last two are real words. But we ought to be known by our love. When people look at us, they should see that we are so loved by God that we can't help but overflow with love for other people. God's love is a love that overflows, love that we feel deeply in our hearts and then extend to others, regardless of who they are. So let me say this. God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. God loves you to overflowing. Do you know that? As we come up to Easter, we are seeing the way that Jesus loved us with a love that held nothing back, with a radical, self-giving, never-ending love. I hope that you are able to feel that unfailing affection that God has for you. And then the next question is this: what are you doing with that love? Holding on to it or letting it overflow to others? You know, God's love is not meant to stop with us. It is meant to spill over the edges of our lives so that other people will feel for themselves what it is like to be loved by God. Let me close out here by praying words for you from Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, verse 18 and onwards, Paul writes, and I pray these words for you. May your roots go deep down into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long and wide and deep and high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know and understand it. And so at last you will be filled up with God himself. Let's pray. God, thank you for this love that overflows. I can't even begin to hold on to the deluge of love that you pour out onto me and onto others, everybody who's watching now, onto your church. Lord, thank you for the unconditional love that you give us. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be just like the cup at the beginning, overflowing, spilling out to touch other people's lives. Lord, in this time of COVID-19, we pray first that you would step in, that you would stop the spread of the virus. We pray that you would give people sensitive hearts to seek after you, to know and experience your love for themselves. You know, they're probably grasping around saying, where is hope in this? And Jesus, you are standing there with nail-pierced hands saying, here's hope. I love you deeply and desperately. And you have a guaranteed eternal resting place with me. Lord, I pray that as we interact safely at a distance, carefully with others, that we would give them a taste of your love, that your love would indeed fill us up to overflowing and spill out so that we would be a great blessing to others. We pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, folks, again, thanks for being here today. I'm so glad that you could join me. Be sure to stay safe, trust in God, and remember prayer and precaution, not panic.